power, love, and grace. And of course, this is the power of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. I want you to learn a Greek word with me this morning. Sometimes we let English words just play by our ear, and the word I want you to know, translated from the English, excel or exceed. In the Hebrew, the Greek rather, it is hooper, H-U-P-E-R, kind of like the English word super, only spelled with an H. And the etymology of the word, I think, is very important for you to understand what we're going to be studying today. The etymology, or the beginning of the very word itself, is he who can overthrow, or he who can throw the farthest, okay? That means our champ, no one can beat him, he's got it. It's super, and that's what the word hooper, as Paul uses many times, and he'll connect another word with it that gives us a double preposition, which means our Father has got it, okay? He can overthrow, and don't think of it in the sense of overthrow. He can do that as well. We could use the words abound, or he's got what it takes. Well, I could think of many things and phrases we could tie into the word hooper. But it means to excel all others. Okay, not just to excel, period, like we would use it in the English, but to excel all others. And I think that's important because it shows God's love, his trust, and even his faith in you when you submit to him. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to a doctrinal book, Timothy, 1 Timothy. And Paul is giving this doctrinal lecture, and it's very good, even to this day. Something that we need to understand, something that we need to consider. 1 Timothy chapter 1, well, let's pick it up with verse 8. And verse 8 states, "But we know, not guess, not maybe, not perhaps, we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully." Now that's important. A lot of people use the law unlawfully. And my opinion, as you well know, of the law of precedent, which we use in this day and time, quite frankly, is unlawful. There is a set rule set forth by God, a set of laws that even our Constitution was taking from. It's not up for grabs. It's not up for change. I don't care what judge makes what decision. He doesn't exceed God. The law used lawfully, that means fairly, in love, power, and grace, is good. 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers. 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, with perversion, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if, I repeat, if, that great big word, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? There's only one. It's the Word of God. Now, naturally, I want to say you must know the difference between law, ordinances, and statutes. Some of the ordinances have been done away with, such as blood sacrifice, gone. It doesn't exist any longer. But it wasn't a law, it was an ordinance, okay? So, in other words, a person that is a law abider, I would even go one step further, that abides by God's law. That means he doesn't steal. He doesn't isn't jealous of what his neighbor owns and decides to take some of it, and so forth. The law is not going to be affected upon him. Why? Because he's not breaking it. That's the way it goes, okay? Be that as it may, okay? If you abide by sound doctrine, that's the doctrine of Almighty God, you're not going to need the law. you will be above the law. So to, well, let's don't use that term. Too many people do for wrong reasons. 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God committed it to him on the road to Damascus, and he was taught of the Holy Spirit as well as man. Paul was taught the Old Testament long before he was converted on the road to Damascus. Don't you ever forget it. I really detest these people that say, I never opened the Bible, but the Holy Spirit touched me, and I know everything. And you study with them a little bit, and you find out they know zippo, nothing, nada. They don't know, come here from Sikkim concerning the law, Father's word, and what is good. Just that God doesn't work that way, and don't ever let a man or a woman deceive you. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. He did what? He enabled me. Paul couldn't have done it himself. Enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He chose him, trusted his heart, and found that he would allow nothing to come before him and the truth. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, and Paul did, he blasphemed Christians, and a persecutor, boy did he persecute Christians, and injurious, I hurt them, I meant to hurt them, and I obtained mercy because of what? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now many young people make errors, especially women, and I say this on their behalf. They make mistakes at a younger age and have things done when they're ignorant of what the real truth of the matter is and what they're doing, and they're hung up on that the rest of their lives, thinking God has not given them forgiveness. When they did it in ignorance, therefore, on repentance, it's forgotten, it's over, it's done with. So you are forgiven. Forgive yourself. That applies to males also. A sin. I hate to see people get on guilt trips. Paul says, I'm the greatest sinner of all of you. I did the whole thing. But God is big enough and good enough, using common sense, that if you were ignorant of it, on repentance, it's scratched. It doesn't exist. Didn't happen. And that's important, and it should apply to your life, and you'll never find a better scripture for understanding that than this doctrine put forth by Paul in this doctrinal letter. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this word here is not only hupa, but it is hupa pleon adzo, which hupa meaning over, above, and beyond. Pleon adzo means to superabound. So in a sense, we have two prepositions brought together, meaning nothing can exceed God. Nothing, he can throw it further than anyone. You can't even come close. He's the champ. But what was it talking about? What was the subject? It was his love. God's love, you can't even touch it. You can't even come close to it. He'll overthrow you every time. By that I mean he will do more for you than you are worthy of. If you have the faith to believe upon him, through who? Don't forget, Christ Jesus, as it is written there. There was another word involved with that. In that particular verse, 14, it said faith. God has more faith. Let's just take a little example for just a moment. God has faith in man. Well, what about Job? I mean, Satan, face to face, Job chapter 1, verse 6, walked to and fro on the earth, appeared with the other angels, and God said, what do you think about my boy Job down there? You can't touch him, can you? See the faith God had in Job? God can faith with you further and love with you further than anyone, Satan included, or any angel. Your father can love you and have more faith in you. He will always be there for you. And that's why I wanted to explain this preposition in the Greek, because I think it's extremely important. We in the English have a word, exceeds. Oh yeah, it just exceeds. It means it gets ahead there a little bit. Well, sometimes the etymology lets us know that it came from exertion. Not just words, but exertion on his part, that he can love like no one else can love. And he can faith in you, believe upon you more than anyone else, Satan or any angel or any person. That's why he is deserving to be called Father. That's why he is deserving to be the master of your house. That's why he is deserving to be called our Yahweh, our Father. When he would say, I am that I am, he is just that. So, Hupala, he can do it better than anyone else. And he's our father, and you better be proud of it, because that love of his that shores up. So he's better in love and faith than any other creature that he created. Let that be settled now and forevermore. Let's continue on. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came here for the purpose of saving sinners. To do what? So that if you, in believing upon him, find that salvation, because it's far more than just saying, well, I'm saved. You become a part. You become a part of his body. That's the first step of salvation, is to bring you into that power, love, and grace. Not as an outsider, not as a stander-byer that says, I'm saved, but a part of that power and love and grace. 16. Howbeit, or it was for this cause I obtained mercy. I did all those bad things, Paul is saying. But God saw fit, through mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long-suffering. You know what that word is? Patience. That through Christ Jesus, through me, he could show patience. That if God can be patient with me, who persecuted the church to almost its overthrow, then why couldn't he have patience with you? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him in life everlasting. So, if you think you're undeserving, perhaps maybe you should look at the word grace just a little bit there. Or mercy even. All right? That he has that mercy. Why? He's full of love. He loves overthrowing everyone else. He throws farther in it. Now please don't confuse the word overthrow as you would a government or something like that. I mean, he can put out more energy to love than anyone else. Think of it as a javelin if you must. He's better than anyone at love and faith. Verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And he deserves it. Amen meaning what? That's that. That's the way it is. Like it, lump it, upside down, crossways, that's that. Verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Well, what's the war about? The war is everyday life against Satan in your family. If you're going to fight that war and you don't have that protection, if you're not tied in to he who can throw the furthest in love and faith to become a part of it, you're going to be a poor warrior. You're going to be untrained. And I guarantee you one thing, as an old combat veteran, I would almost refuse to go into combat with untrained people. It'd have to be a dire emergency. Trained in warfare, that's the most important war and conflict there has ever been or ever will be, and that is the conflict between Satan and Almighty God. He tears up your people. I don't care who they are. He abuses them, Satan does. Uses them. And God has picked you to understand and to become a part whereby you can utilize part of that power and love and grace in that being a member of that family. You can accomplish what it is he must do, because he uses people, always has, to accomplish the things on earth that must need be done. There are times he has interceded, but he usually uses men, and there's no gender in that, people, to accomplish things, to keep morals where there should be, to keep truth and good doctrine pouring forth, and the true values on life, what is important and what is not. He can throw further than anyone, your father, and he can love more than anyone, the things that you do when you do them for you and your family, that in bringing that sound doctrine, that enforcing or teaching that law that is good when it is taught lawfully, that's to say, God's way. Verse 19, holding faith. What is faith? Faith is the shield with the gospel armor on, and a good conscience. I mean, be able to use good common sense and to have repented of all sin, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. In other words, you put away faith and be a doubter, and your life is going to shipwreck. It's that simple. Well, I really wished I could believe all that stuff. Well, I can tell you right now, you don't. Because a person who says they wish they could believe does not. You can't believe, you can't faith just a little bit. You either have it or you don't. Meaning you know God's word is true or it isn't. You're the one that decides that, to know that when he says, I am Bufa, I can do it better than anyone. And he should be able to, should he not? He's the creator. I would think anyone would have a hard time not having faith in that if they were a realist. We got dreamers that like to say, one day the sun comes up every day and it goes down every night. Well, yeah, it does, because God created it that way. They leave God out of the equation, and I'll tell you, when you look at that, you'll see a life that's shipwrecked, has no value, usually has no morals other than what comes being, whether they have common sense or not, to know what gets them in trouble, out of trouble. Just get by is what I call it. Get by people. Get by people are short-lived. They only live, they only go through one death and then the next, rather than just have eternal life. They're kind of dead, spiritually deader than a hammer. Get by people. Don't be a get-by people, because you are a child of the very best when it comes to love and faith. And he has that faith in you. Now you, in turn, have that faith in him so that you can lock into it. Or you're a get-by person. Okay, that's just the way it is. All right? Verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme? And who were these two characters? Well, they were people that taught. It's already taken place. Resurrection's taken place. Everything's taken place. You know, where, and you've had people having like, haven't you run across people like that? And I'll say, Matthew 24 took place in 70 A.D. Now that's blasphemy. Unintelligent. You'll have people that'll say the same thing in Mark 13. That's already taken place. Or as Peter would probably better describe it in 2 Peter chapter 3, you're going to have people, the same old people, nonsensical people that are going to say, it ain't going to happen, never has happened, it's the same now as it was then. Well, it isn't. And a wise person can see the difference as years go by. That prophecies begin to click as labor pains. They come closer and closer and closer until we have the birth of a new age. And it is coming. So don't be as that one that, rather than sticking to God's word, likes to get out in boom boom land and make up riddles or listen to man and think this has already happened or that has already happened and so forth, to mislead God's children. He doesn't like it. And do you know who you're going up against when you go against God? You're going against he that can throw further, much further than you. So you're a loser coming out the gate when you're not part of the family, the team that overcomes in the love that God shares with you if you receive it, if you take it. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians for a moment. This first chapter of Ephesians, you all know in the fourth verse, it stipulates there that God chose you before the foundations of the earth. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you know that. It talks about dispensations and time. Let's pick it up with verse 17, if we may. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What is the subject? That if you would receive, that God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge, not earthly knowledge, but the knowledge that God would have you know where you're a better bricklayer for Jesus, where you're a better worker for Almighty God, where you're a better householder of the house of God, able, trained, and ready for battle. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That your eyes, which mirror your very soul, our Father who said, let there be light, let that light enter into your very eye, mirroring the soul and giving knowledge and wisdom, but most of all also to understand revelation. To understand, you know, do you understand what God is saying here? I want to open up a line of communication with you if you'll receive it. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? Do you know what that word exceeding is? Hoopah! Greatness of what? Of his power to usward who believe. according to the working of His mighty power. Now before it was love and faith, that chuppah, He can throw it further than anyone else, the lance in battle. Here it is His power that He wants to give to you. Wow! Think of that. He who can throw furthest wants to share that power with you, or let you plug into it, whereby you can be useful in the warfare against the fiery darts of Satan. And that's why this word again would be used, chuppah, so that you could understand and know. The particular word that is used here is chuppah-balu. It means to throw beyond. It centers on that fact that He's better. In other words, His power is above all powers. So now we know through this study that He not only can throw and handle love the furthest and faith, but now His power, that He has power over all, especially Satan. Well, shoot, I knew that all my life. Well, He's making it and bringing it home, saying, I want to take some of that and I want to give it to you. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. God doesn't like loose cannons on the deck. He doesn't give His power to someone that's going to misuse it or play games with it or play church with it. You can get that out of your head right now. He's very serious. And He expects His power to be moved in the direction that He would have it. Well, how do I know that? The wisdom and knowledge we read of in a prior verse, and the gift of revelation, understanding revelation, understanding what God wants so that you can do. If you don't know what God wants, then you don't know what to do. That's why someone saying, you're saved, that's all you need, is just not true. Unless you want, I mean, if you like marching around in front of this audience naked as a jaybird, that's what's going to happen. That's a revelation, friend. It's written in the book of Revelation that your righteous acts weave together the fine linen that you wear in heaven. You got no righteous acts? Sorry, you got no linen, so guess what? You're naked. So now is the time to weave, friend, and cover that thing up, all right? You know. Oh, well, we're still awake, aren't we? Remember, He shared with us first His love and His faith. I mean, taking it one step at a time, that it goes further, and that it's His love for you. And now He wants not only that, He wants you to be a part, and He's going to share that power with you when you're ready and when you're able to handle it in the way He would have you handle it. Okay? Now, where did we get to? 19. And what? Yeah, we've got that. Okay? Verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, it was that power that brought about the resurrection that He exploded out of that tomb into eternal life. He wants you to share in that as well. 21. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, that means this world age, but also in that which is to come. Do you understand what He's inviting you into? It's awesome. Giving you power that is over any principality. That means spooks, saints, heavens, ghosts, you know, which those things don't exist. They're a figment of man's mind. There are spirits, though. That there, and some of them are pretty bad. But you got power over them. Everything evil runs from you when you are in that power, locked into it, of Almighty God. Always has been and always will be. But it's up to the entity, the individual, to accept or disallow. Your baby, go with it or go against it. But it's never going to change. You might as well get used to it. It's going to be that way in this earth age, and it's going to be that way in the eternity. So he gave that power to overcome. Verse 22, and hath put all things, how many? All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Well, what is the church? Well, this chapter 1 was written to God's elect. That is his true church. Those chosen before the foundations. Boy, that's pretty powerful stuff if you can just wire into that. And you might wonder why someone might say, well, I know we've got the victory. If you're wired into this, you know why we have the victory. Everything that is evil will try to trip us, but we'll stomp it. We take names, we kick dragon. Can-do type people. Why? You're in the power of Almighty God. That's why God could be so proud of Job, knowing he would never weaken as far as his faith and love for God was concerned. Regardless of what kind of guilt trips they tried to put him on, his conscience was clear. Verse 23, concerning the church, which is his body, that's to say Christ's body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I don't know, are you full? Have you been filled? Have you taken that knowledge, that wisdom? Have you known that Father, who can throw further than anyone in power, wants to share that with you? That you become a part within that warfare against that is evil. What a wonderful opportunity to live. Even the prophets wanted to live in this generation. You are. Don't waste it. Don't let it slip by. Partake and be strong. Let's continue on into chapter 2. We have this word comes up again. We have power, we have love, and we have faith. Verse 1. And you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually, you were dead. The word quickened means made alive. Because when you receive the truth, he makes you spiritually alive. When you begin to take on that power that he shares with you willingly. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And I repeat, this world, eon, age, cosmos. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air, of course, is Satan. And Satan, in your lifetime, has talked to you and cooed to you. It'll be okay. It's all right. You can rob that bank. You need the money. I mean, look, it's just people that have mistreated you that put it in there in the first place. Hey, take it. Now, that's kind of going to the extreme, but Satan will. I hope he's never whispered to you that way. He did, hasn't to me, because God learned me early that if you work hard enough to make enough money, you don't need to rob. You know, you got all you want, basically, or enough to get along with. The reason you got enough to get along with is if you can't afford it, you don't need it. All right, you do, and he gives. He blesses those that love him. So, but you can get tied up in the spirit of Satan if you allow it. Let me tell you something. Some of you may think that you live in kind of a sheltered world. Do you know what happened just 10 minutes, about 10 minutes before I stepped on this platform? We put a wall up to keep an evil spirit away from a person, and it was very real. So the war goes on. I guess the question is, are you a part of it? Are you ready for it? Do you have the gospel armor on and in place? Because if you're real, evil spirits should run every time they see you. They will. They will retreat because they know that the power that God puts within His own means nothing but instant death for them. So it's good to take a hold of that power and be able to deal with the prince of darkness. Okay, I'm not saying that to frighten anyone that's not ready for that type of warfare. Hey, don't worry, we'll fill the gap till you can get there. Okay, no problem, can do type people. Okay, verse 3, again, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This has nothing to do with natural sex within a family or or Christian sex. Don't let someone put you on guilt trips. Okay, we were all born into this world, and we are flesh. 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now don't read over that. It's great, it says here. 5, even when we were dead in sins, you were spiritually dead, in other words, before He hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. In other words, it is we always fall short. Your works are good, but it's His unmerited favor that saves you. Okay? Now, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's Christ sitting? The right hand of God. Where are you? Right hand of God. He's your lawyer. He's your counselor. He's the one that speaks up for you. He's your advocate when you're wired in. Pretty high up, friend. Can't be a better place for you to be than in the arms of Almighty God. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, now don't let this slip away from you, in the ages to come He might show the exceeding, there's that word again, exceeding riches of His what? Not love, not power, not faith. What is it this time? Grace. In His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you know what the word grace is? It's chariz. It comes from kind of the prime charisma, rather comes from it. Charisma, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit, as some people would have you think it does, like that participate in the charismatic movement or something like it. The word in the Greek means it's a gift, period. Okay. Why? Because there is so much in grace that we could never possibly earn, and that's what Paul wanted you to get from chapter 1 there. Hey, I wasn't a murderer, but I troubled the church, injured it. I was no good. I even blasphemed the name Jesus. But here, on repentance, he says God gives you a gift of forgiveness. So again, many of you have sinned, and you've sinned where some of you have, that you just really can't forgive yourself. Do, because He does. Especially a sin in ignorance. You didn't know. And you're not held accountable for that you do not know. But God help you if you ever use that as an excuse for not learning. Okay. But so then here, what does this mean? His grace, His charis, is greater, more so than anyone else could throw. There is no one else could spend that much grace or charis upon you as your Heavenly Father does. That should be reassuring to you, dear one, because God only knows some of you need it. Okay. Especially this one. hey, you're too serious. Some of you must have thought it fit. But I'm kind of teasing a little bit. Okay, no, God bless you. Hey, it's gone, all right? Just like that on repentance. He has that gift for you. It's already wrapped. Do you know something? I almost think it already has your name on it. See, chariz, grace, is a gift. We can't earn it. That's why that grace saves us, because we're never really good enough, if you want to know the truth about it. Somebody may have never told you that, but we got faults, okay? Paul himself would say, I always start out wanting to do what is exactly right, but I always end up doing just the different, the opposite, okay? Well, unfortunately, even he messed up at times. But anyway, be that as it may, it is God's grace, and please don't you ever think I'm giving you license to sin in this explanation. It does not. Okay? I give a license to sin, but God knows we have weaknesses. And the main thing and the main problem with weaknesses is, you know what? Satan knows your weaknesses, and he picks that spot. And there's nothing unusual about that. Any general in plotting a battle, colonel, sergeant, lieutenant, whoever, planning a battle, you're going to scout out the weak points. And that's where you're going to hit. Well, do you think Satan is dumber than we are? I've got news for you. He isn't. He's very intelligent. He's going to hit you where you're the weakest. Don't you let him do it, okay? Now, but here, exceeding, throw the furthest, hupa, in grace, the gift. He's given it to you. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It takes both, now understand. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And there the word gift comes forth, charis. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, that man should take credit for it. God, who gave you the power? He just told you in the last chapter. God wants to share the power with you. It's not your power. So don't ever think it is, or you're headed for a shipwreck, okay? It's God's own loan. But boy, does it work. Verse 10. For we are his work. Manship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, ordained what? It was his order. And when you do walk in them, you're in good shape. He's going to bless you. If you don't, you're going to get everything you got coming to you. All right? And usually it's more painless if it's all at one time. Okay? So, God corrects his children. Why? He loves them. 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh not made with hands. In other words, the circumcision now is for both man and woman. It's of the heart. That, because why? The bloodletting is over. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But you have him. He is yours. You do have the covenants. You have the promises. I wonder, do you claim them? You know, I kind of feel sorry for you if you don't claim them. Because there are so many promises in this word, and he'll keep them. But you got to claim them, and you got to deserve them. That's just the way he is, okay? I want to go one more place here in Ephesians in chapter 3. I want to pick it up with verse 7. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. This is the power we're talking about, friend. The power he wants to share with you. Have you ever received any of it? Feels wonderful to be effective. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ? It is unsearchable. That our Father, who can throw further in love, faith, power, grace, loves you. 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, that means family, of the mystery. And really, when you begin to look at it, there is no mystery if you'll just accept it and accept His love, power, grace, and faith, which from the beginning of the world, that means this world age, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Even with Christ Jesus, when He said, "Let the Spirit move upon the earth," that Spirit was the Holy Spirit. That Spirit was the Son. 10. To the intent, or this is the reason, that now unto the principalities, rulers of any kind, and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, the saving power, and to keep yourself separate from Satan, the loser. 11. According to the eternal purpose. Do you know that purpose? It's God's purpose. That's what this book is all about. There's no mystery, just to some, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? That He would be the Savior. 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, Don't you, just because you think I'm being given a hard time for teaching God's Word, Paul is saying, and I don't care who you are, when you teach God's Word, people are going to talk against you, about you, lie about you, and some people don't, their skin is a little thin. But then the very thing that Satan, it is written in the closing verses of Mark, that your character, if you're going to stand up against Satan, had better be good enough. You can drink poison, which doesn't mean literal, but it means that your character is above reproach. You want to make sure of that, okay? Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Boy, isn't that something? Think about it. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He wants that strength for you. He wants you to share in that strength. And He has more strength the same way. He can throw further than anyone else. And He can strengthen you when you are just down and out. Oh, God, I can't take any more. He'll always show you a way out. He's promised that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He'll never burden you with more than you can cut, that you can handle. And when you're in trouble, in that same verse, He will always show you a way out. Do you believe that? It is true. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Don't miss these commodities. God is better in them than anyone, and He's bringing it forth. There's no mystery. Don't let it be a mystery. May be able to comprehend, to understand, with all saints, those that are supposed to, what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? His love. His love, His power, His grace. And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know, are you plugged in? Are you part of the family? Or don't play, my friend. These things are very real, and they are promises for you to take, to partake of. Here comes our word again, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, not around us, in us, through us, if you're a part of that family, if you have received with understanding that mystery of God, which is to say his simple plan of salvation upon this age, which will go into the age to come. 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages. He's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. World without end. Amen. I don't know. Do you have that eternal life? Boy, he sure loves you. And look at you. Just look at yourself. Like I can look at myself. That's just overwhelming, his goodness. And that brings one to repentance. And so to say, use me, Father. Use me. May you, that be your prayer, that you are able to receive that power and that love, that faith, and that grace, that he is hoopah, that he can share with you more than anyone else, especially Satan. He's got it there for you. In closing, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 5 to pick up the subject, and then we'll find our word within between here and verse 10. Verse 5 reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Whatever you do, preach Christ Jesus. Don't say, this here is Henry Brown Ministries. Henry who? This here is Ray Tallman's ministry. Don't care about Ray Tallman. I care about Christ Jesus. I care about our Father. So don't mess up and make a mistake of your life if you decide to start a ministry and give it your name. All right? Big mistake. God doesn't like it. Okay, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to read over that. The same God that brought the restitution, or restoration rather, of this earth age from the first earth age. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, that first light that he asked for was the Spirit, was Christ. It was the polysyndent and, as it is listed at the beginning of every verse. That's what that polysyndent means. That the Spirit moved upon these and this and that. The same one that said that said, let light come into your eye. Your eye, I said, yours. Therefore it is there for whomsoever will to partake of. See that you don't miss out. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, even in your flesh body, you have this treasure. What? His light. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know what that word excellency is? See how easy we can read over something even when we've been studying it for almost an hour now? Hupabolia, to be more complete. God's power that overcomes all principalities, that it's better, it's greater You'd better be armed with it rather than some substitute, counterfeit. And don't ever try to take credit for it for yourself. It is by God's grace that you're able to exercise that power. 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Many would have trouble with that. How in the world could you be all that? Because you've got the power. Satan may be given a moment. He better enjoy it. Because you're about ready to take names and kick dragon. It's not going to last. We have the power, the love, the faith, and the grace of Almighty God to overcome all things that Satan might choose to bring against you. That's why Paul can say, we had a lot of trouble, distressed on every side, but don't worry, there's maybe not enough of them to go around for us. Good soldier. Maybe you could stretch him a little bit, all right? But why wasn't he distressed? Because he had the power. That's why you need it. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And we stop there for this time. You can continue on. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The purpose is, he expects you. I want to say that again. He expects you to do something about it, not just read it, but to receive it. And it may just be in your family that you set that example. We don't have to be afraid of anything if we use common sense. In other words, your common sense would tell you not to go somewhere where it was dangerous unless you had the equalization to take care of it. Well, so it is. When you're armed with the wisdom that is necessary in God's law and God's command, his plan. Hey, it's going to be that way in this world and it's going to be in the next. The question is, do you want a part or are you going to be gone? Okay. That's why Paul could so easily say, I'm not afraid. And I really think he penned that without shaking one iota. Didn't bother him at all. He'd been shipwrecked, beaten, wrecked. But he had the power of God within him. And he knew that when the time was right, he was going to strike with a hot iron. Okay? And so it is. There are no giants left in this world to confront us. We will have trouble. But we will have the victory. And God expects his servants to be his servants. Do you know what a servant is? That's someone that serves. Because he has enabled you with the power, love, the faith, and the grace, unmerited favor, giving you forgiveness for all your shortcomings in serving him. See that you make a good servant. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, your promise. We claim those promises, Father. We partake. Use us, and it is indeed a pleasure. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
So, Peter, here we have two books, 1 and 2 Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing